The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Coast to Coast podcast here on InsideCarolina.com. Man, we should just change the name of this to ICNN or something, because the news is breaking hot and heavy for Hubert Davis and his staff in Chapel Hill. You know, we just brought you the Dawson Garcia commitment earlier this week, and now here we are letting you know about Hubert Davis and his staff luring another five-star to Chapel Hill to be a part of the Tar Heel program. I'm just Joey Powell. With me, as always, Sherelle McMillan, Sean Moran. Man, you guys are making time for our listeners and our viewers, and I'm sure they appreciate it. Sherelle, how you feeling?
I'm good. Yourself?
Man, I can't complain. Sean, how are you?
Pretty good.
Well, I appreciate you guys being here. Let's jump out with it. I mean, Jalen Washington, five-star player. He's definitely one of the highest-rated prospects in the 22 class that had an offer from North Carolina. He's from Gary, Indiana. 6'9", center, checking in at 210 pounds. Sean, I'll go to you first. Is Jalen Washington more of a 4'5 or a 5'4 in college? How do you see him?
I think it depends who you ask. I'm going to go with a 5'4", just because, I think that's kind of his ideal position in college is being, I'd say, a 5 that can slot in at the 5'4". But, you know, in terms of his skill set, he's the guy, as you mentioned, 6'9", I think almost a 7'2 wingspan. And he's still, I'd say, recovering from the ACL injury. He's been playing, but in terms of getting back to 100%, that's still in progress. But he's been playing throughout the spring and summer. UNC was able to watch him several times during the high school evaluation period. And, you know, for him, he's a once again, we've been talking about this on almost every recruit, but he's a big that can shoot and can stretch the floor. That's kind of his game and his forte is, I'd say really catching from 15 to 18 feet facing up, giving a little jab step and firing away. And he's got a good form, a nice shot. And, he's very comfortable also from the three point line, where I think a few weeks ago we saw him basically as a trailer on the break, just spot up and catch threes and knock them down pretty easily. He's not afraid to get in the post and post up. I think right now there's not a lot of explosion or above the rim ability, and hopefully that will come as he continues to get healthy throughout his senior year. But I'd say a 5'4" and a guy once again that can shoot.
And at 7'2", man, with that kind of reach, that's almost an impossible shot to block, especially when he's at the 15 to 18 foot range. There's not going to be anybody around him that can contest that. Sherelle, why don't you let our listeners and viewers know how this Jalen Washington recruitment came together? You know, we know he visited early when the period opened on June the 2nd, and it seemed that everything went really well. He took some other visits, but what do you think happened as far as the UNC sales pitch or the UNC recruiting pitch that actually got him to commit to Hubert Davis and his staff?
I think it was a combination of things that really only UNC could offer, and that's why he ended up picking UNC. So I think having Sean May as his primary assistant, a big man from Indiana, who made, that trek, southeast and performed well, won a national championship, Final Four, all that good stuff, played in the NBA for a long time. I think that's a part of it. he is an academic-minded kid. Like, it's something that's very important to him. So he wanted to go somewhere they had world-class academics. And I think Carolina checked that box. And then he, of course, wanted to play, high-level basketball. And he wants to play in the NBA one day. So I think the best combination of those things with the addition of May of great academics and great basketball is what kind of tipped it over to North Carolina. And he had Seems like an amazing visit based upon what he said to us after the visit. Just how much he enjoyed the team, how much he enjoyed the staff and their vision for him. He said that they had things kind of decked out on like on the bed or somewhere during his visit of like, you know, Jalen Washington, ACC Freshman of the Year, Jalen Washington, you know, name in the rafters, Jalen Washington, ACC Defensive Player of the Year, all that kind of stuff. And I think it was just a really, really good job by Sean May, by Hubert Davis, and then the entire UNC staff once they offered him. Because this is another one that was, you know, fairly similar to Will Shaver and then to Seth Trimble in that he didn't get a Carolina offer until early May. And within a month, he had taken an official visit. And I think everyone around UNC felt pretty good. And they were just waiting for him to kind of go through the process of visiting Stanford, visiting Purdue, and then seeing, you know, what was going to happen after that. So it might be a month later, but this is another example of Davis and his staff identifying, communicating, and then closing. And they've done a really good job of that over the last, since he took the job on April 5th.
Yeah, these May to June relationships, to turn an old phrase, have been really unique to see, but it's interesting how many of these kids are really just buying what Hubert Davis is selling right now. And it's obvious what he is saying is really registering with these families and these players. Sean, excuse me. I want to ask you, I think that one of the things that has seemed to be an area that Washington could improve his skill set has been around his motor and his strength. Meanwhile, he does seem to be a really good defensive presence. How do you see him slotting in with what UNC will have as a pretty big deficiency in the post by the time he gets to campus?
Yeah, I mean, I think even, you know, in this coming year, you know, they have the three bigs with the Dawson Garcia commitment, but for the most part, none of them are, I'd say, true rim protectors or shot blocking threats. I think, you know, they can do it a little bit, but I think that's where, when Washington comes in, that's going to be kind of an added dimension that UNC really hasn't had lately. And we mentioned the 7'2 wingspan. And in just watching some of the games, I mean, sometimes he just puts his hands straight up, and that's enough to at least alter a shot or make it difficult. And then there are other times he's coming from the help side, coming on a break, and he can, you know, really, really block the guy's shot and start a fast break. So, you know, I think that'll be a added dimension, especially, you know, if UNC is looking for bigs to play immediately. I think, you know, the main thing over the next year is really that mobility, as you mentioned, in the pick and roll game. And, you know, some of the clips that I was watching recently, he works real hard, but sometimes, you know, maybe it was a split second too long that they left him out on the perimeter, or maybe he just kind of lost concentration for a second and his man was able to score. So I think that's an area of focus, is just kind of a little bit more in terms of mobility and increasing that aspect. But, you know, from the length perspective, he can just put his arms up and that's going to do something immediately.
I'll be honest again. I'm not anywhere close to the degree of expert at identifying and analyzing talent that you and Sherelle are, but I see in this kid what I think people thought John Henson was going to be with the full package. And John Henson was an amazing player for 3 years at North Carolina. But I see he has kind of that potential to combine the length and then also step out on the offense, which Henson really had developed by the time he left Chapel Hill. Sherelle, how do you see this commitment playing with the rest of the kids that are offered in this class? Do you think it has an effect? Do you think it continues to help the staff build momentum? Or is this just kind of an isolated great win for the staff and they move back towards looking at the other kids that have offers?
Can it be all of those things?
Sure. It's your podcast, man. You call your shot.
I think that would be the answer because he is the type of player who can play, I think, beside someone. When I say beside someone, I mean another big, just because of his ability to stretch the floor. Now, I think you do get into issues when you know, maybe want to pair him. Say they got a commitment for someone like Derek Lively. I do think defensively that could cause some issues because then you have two – what I would consider college centers right now playing together. So that's something that may be worth monitoring. But I think Isaac Trout, you know, he's another guy, a power forward that they have an offer to. I think they would fit beside each other fine. I think he fits beside Shaver fine because, again, because of that stretchability. And then Lively, to me, really is the only other right now serious offer candidate. I guess Philip Baskey could count as well. But I think all those guys could play together just because of what Hubert Davis has said he wanted from his bigs, which we've talked about ad nauseum, which is, you know, the facing, the spacing, and the posting. And all those guys can do that. So the versatility is there. The pieces are there. So I don't think it'd be an issue, really, unless you're talking about starting him and Derek Lively, and that they should be so lucky to get both of those guys. Sure. If you're starting both of those guys as your four or your five, then maybe there could be some issues.
I can't wait for the day that Hubert Davis sends a five-out offense out on the floor to watch the fan base's heads collectively explode, because it's not something that they've ever seen in Chapel Hill before. So
might not have to wait a long time for that.
You might see it in October. The way things are trending, who knows? All right, boys, I'll give you guys a chance to make one more parting shot after I say thank you to Johnny T-Shirt for helping us put together this podcast. You know, we wouldn't be here dropping this news on you as it happens if it weren't for folks like Johnny T-Shirt with their financial commitment to Inside Carolina and supporting us and helping us bring this news, breaking news, and information to you. So if you like the insight and analysis that you're getting, thank Johnny T-Shirt. Hit them up, johnnytshirt.com. They've got all of the new football stuff in stock, so you can get all the new gear and be ready when Keenan Stadium is back at full capacity in September. So make sure you hit up johnnytshirt.com right there on East Franklin Street, owned and operated by UNC alums. They've been supporting Inside Carolina for a long time. We want to continue to support them. All right, guys, now that we've gotten our thanks to Johnny T-Shirt out of the way, parting shots, Sherrill.
I would just say this is a continued evolution of Hubert Davis and his staff or what they can do. So, you know, they've shown that they can get an immediate need from the transfer portal in Brady Manning. They've shown that they could get someone who maybe wasn't being used the way they wanted to be used at a different school in Justin McCoy. They've shown that they can get one of the top transfers from the market with Dawson Garcia. Now they've shown that they can go get one of the, you know, top 25 big men in high school basketball. So you're starting to see them use everything within their power, in their toolkit, so to speak, to improve the UNC roster. And then I would say, you know, congratulations to Sean May. This is kind of his first real big win as an assistant coach. And it happens to be from the state of Indiana where he's from. So I'm sure that means a lot to him. But, you know, he's shown an ability. We were told by someone who's around the program a lot that he had, you know, some of those rock star qualities that, you know, some of the high major assistants have. So this is probably the first of many for him. And I think it just, I continue to be shocked. I don't want people to think that I was down on the staff, but just the level of which they've been able to turn over the roster into one that plays the style and fits the style that they want to play is incredible over the course of 3.5 months.
Yeah, it's nothing short of amazing. And not that anybody's asking for my opinion, but I would recommend they kind of slow their roll a little bit, get these expectations tempered so that people don't think that every single kid they offer is going to pop.
I'll let Sean go, but that's a conversation for Coast to Coast, I think, next week.
All right. We'll mark that one and put that in the ledger so that we hit it on our next agenda when we actually do a scheduled Coast to Coast. All right, Sean, last one, man. You got two cents for us before we get out of here?
Sure. So just to kind of piggyback on Sherrill, you know, one thing we've seen, whether it's been the high school recruits or the transfers, is things are moving very quick. And obviously not privy to inside conversations, but, you know, just reading the tea leaves, it looks like UNC has been able to kind of, you know, put the pressure on and try to get, you know, commitments of the players they want. And they now have three commitments really before the live period begins. So I think that's a great job that they've done in terms of evaluating, but also kind of, you know, putting the pressure on to get a commitment so that they can, you know, focus on other guys as well. And then the second one, we've talked about it ad nauseum, is how does UNC recruit in this era of the G League and overtime, et cetera. And, you know, here we have a low five-star guy ranked in the top 25. And once again, he's a guy that is kind of the ideal recruit, where obviously a lot can change. But with Trimble, we talked about, you know, his explosiveness and, you know, that being something, depending on how he plays, something that could increase his market from an NBA perspective. But, you know, from Washington, he's not a pogo stick athlete that is this going to, you know, be running, you know, running up and down the floor, catching lobs, et cetera. He's got a very, you know, very unique skill set, but he doesn't have kind of those intangibles that just scream NBA to you. And that's, you know, that's at least to me, the ideal recruit that you might have more than 1 year. And obviously you can't predict that and it's hard, but that's something that, you know, I think is very important as teams are trying to form over the next few years.
And I definitely want to give you and Sherelle credit, because you guys have said on previous episodes of this podcast that recruiting in that 25 to 40 or 25 to 50 range is going to be Hubert Davis and his staff's sweet spot as you start to deal with these, you know, the removal of one and done, these, the G League, these other professional leagues kind of playing and vying for those top level players. And it seems like they're really adapting well. All right, guys, I appreciate you being here. I know you're tired of seeing me this week, but such is life and such is the way that this staff has kept us busy. So I appreciate you guys making time to share this insight with our listeners and our viewers. And we will certainly catch you on the next episode, whether planned or otherwise, of Coast to Coast here on InsideCarolina.com. Special thanks to John Siegley for producing. Shout out to Sherelle McMillan for making time. Thank you to Sean Moran for making time. I am just your host, Joey Powell. We'll catch y'all next time. Late.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.